We see again the great mystery and power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and the Son of Mary. And today, in addition to this wonderful Sunday, we begin Passiontide, the last part of the season of Lent. We also celebrate that which caused it to be. For today is a feast of the Annunciation of the Archangel St. Gabriel to Mary, as we celebrated gloriously this morning. And it is also the feast of the Incarnation as a result. When Mary, full well knowing what it entailed for her to become the mother of the Messiah, agreed and said, "Yes, let it be done unto me according to thy word." And immediately at that moment, the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the overshadowing of the Father, came into her, and at that moment was created the human nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to suffer and to die for us. For it is impossible for God to suffer or to die. So he created a human nature that would be united with his divine person, with his divine hypostasis, and create the hypostatic union, the personal union, and the divine person of the second person of the Trinity now also is united to the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. But not two persons, but two natures in one person. The divine person. And in that divine person, he comes. He is the one sent, as we saw last week, as a man blind washed his eyes with the mud, with the sacramental that Jesus created for him. And here we have another friend of his. And of course, as is natural in his human nature, and also, by the way, in his divine nature. Now, there are many friends of Jesus in the world and have been throughout the ages. Those who are gone are now the saints in heaven. But there are saints who are still on earth. And, of course, each and every one of us is called to be such a one, to be a friend of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But while he was here on earth, he also made friends with those who were, in particular, faithful to him. And Lazarus was one of those, and his sisters, St. Mary of Bethany and St. Martha also. And in the meantime, we see how our Lord, knowing full well that Lazarus was going to die at this point, he holds off and allows it to happen, because had he gone while he was still alive, they would have expected for him to cure him, to heal him, and prevent his death. But no, that would not give the glory to God. So he allows him to die, that the Son of God may be glorified through his death. Now, Martha and Mary had asked for him to come, but nevertheless he held back. And when he is ready to come, he tells his disciples, "Lazarus is asleep." And they're thinking, well, when a person has a fever and is thrashing about on his bed, he is not well. He is still sick. But once the fever leaves him, he can fall asleep and rest and recuperate his energy, his strength, his health. But not this kind of sleep. They did not understand him. And so he eventually tells them, "He is dead. And this has happened so that I may be glorified, that the Son of God may be glorified." And so he said, "Let us go." And of course, here we have the fact that Bethany was just a couple of miles away from Jerusalem. And the Pharisees and their followers, who refused to believe in Christ, were wanting to kill him. So that is why Didymus, St. Thomas, says, "Let us also go and die with him too." even though he, like all the others, except John the Evangelist, was to run away and hide for fear when it was the time for the Passion. Then Jesus arrives, and the practical Martha goes out to meet him. Mary always stays at home praying, in this case also mourning. And so she came and basically confronted him. Why did you not come? You could have saved him. And our Lord says, Lazarus will rise again. And she says, we know that, Lord. We know that he shall rise again on the last day. Of course, the reason she believed in this, because she and Lazarus and Mary and Jesus and the apostles were Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in heaven, in angels, in death, in life after death, in purgatory, in hell. The Sadducees, which was about 90% of the Jews, did not believe any of that. So they figured that when you died, you just went into a hole in the ground, and that was the end of that. But that was not what we and the other Pharisees believe. And so she says, yes, Lord, I know that he will rise up after, when it is time for the resurrection. But he says to her, you do not understand fully. I am the resurrection and the life. And so she says, yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent, the Son of God, the one who is said to be coming into the world. You are he. And then she, perhaps already hoping for the miracle for which she prayed, sends for her sister. He is here. The Master, the Lord, the teacher, the Rabbi is here asking for you. And so she went, and the Jews with her, thinking she was going to weep at the tomb. And of course, it was a very great thing, and it still is, to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn, to help someone at the time of the death of a loved one. And so they all went out to see what was going to happen. And again, she too reproaches the Lord. Lord, if you had been here, this would have not happened. And then he just simply says to her, where have you laid him? Where is his tomb? Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. The love of Jesus for Lazarus was such that that love was to make God weep. Because Jesus is God. And so he wept. And the Jews began to argue, couldn't he have done something for him before he died? And he ignored them. They were not worth an argument. And many times, that is the best way to be when we are confronted by unbelievers, by heathens. And there's nothing to do except to prove by our works and by our faith that we believe. So Jesus, St. John says, became perturbed again. In other words, he began to weep again. Lazarus' death made Jesus weep. Now he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He knows everything. For Jesus, there is no past, there is no future. It's always now. He is God. But nevertheless, he weeps because death is not natural. Death was not created by him. Death came about through the instrumentality of the evil Satan and the lack of courage and faith and obedience and humility of Eve and Adam. So death is not natural. So they came to the tomb, and our Lord said, "Move the stone." Now the stone weighed about 2,000 pounds. Move the stone. So Martha, the practical one, says, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. After 4 days and no embalming, the body would have corrupted." If you have ever smelled a corrupted body, a rotten corpse, you will never forget it. And when I was a freshman in high school, one of the teachers died, and he was found dead after 3 days. And we were a great distance away from him. And the stench that came from where he was beyond belief. The most horrible, atrocious smell I have ever smelled. And I still remember it. Smells are something that you can remember. Even people who have Alzheimer's or dementia, or who are even in a coma, when they smell the perfume of a loved one, there will be a reaction to them. Smell is a very strong sense. And so our Lord does not care what Martha says. She doesn't know. Like we don't know, because we do not have enough faith. If our Lord says, "Do this," we should do it and not ask, "How is this going to happen? How come?" We should just do it and trust in Him and live. Jesus then said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they obeyed. And Jesus prays to God the Father just for their sake, because He's in constant union with the Father. But just so that they may believe that He was sent by Him. And then He commands the dead man, Lazarus, just as He commanded the young man, of the son of the widow of Nain, "Get up, Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus skips out, because his hands and feet were tied and his face too. Like a mummy, he comes out hopping like a rabbit. And then our Lord says, "Untie him and let him go." And what is really interesting, of course, the resurrection of Lazarus. It was only a temporary resurrection. Lazarus would become the first bishop of Marseille, and all three of them, and then later on with St. Mary of Egypt, another penitent, they would go to Provence in France, and there they would all end their days, Lazarus, a martyr for the faith. So it was just a temporary resurrection. And so, nevertheless, he began to see and talk and hear and smell and everything else that a human being does who is well and alive. And this is very much, of course, we are in the season when we celebrate death and life, life and death, the resurrection of the Lord. And because of this, the church, from the time of the apostles, has during this season baptized especially catechumens who are adults. And next Saturday I will baptize 3 adults who will be like Lazarus. Untie him and let him go. And they will live for the first time in their lives. They will live and experience the life of the Holy Spirit and of the Father and of the Son through the waters of baptism. Now, St. John tells us that because of this miracle, many of the Jews who had come to see Mary and Martha believed that He was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah. This was all for the glory of God. And the things that happen to us also in our lives, if we allow them to be, will be also for the glory of God. So, if your soul is in sin, if your soul is darkened by the death of mortal sin, untie him and let him go.